Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. Three-dimensional printing is everywhere these days, from car parts to people parts. And it's that latter category that drew in artist and UWM art professor Frankie Flood. Flood's background is in jewelry and metalsmithing, and his previous work has treated everyday objects like pizza cutters as art. More recently, circumstances have caused Flood and his students to turn their attention to using their design skills and expertise towards something that could someday allow its wearers to themselves become artists. Frankie Flood sat down with us and explained.
And we're really looking at how to combine traditional craft with new cutting-edge technology in 3D printing, laser cutting, CNC milling, things of that nature.
One of the things that you've been doing with that is you've been creating arms?
Yeah. We've been working on a project as a part of a group called Enable. And we're 3D printing prosthetic hands for children who were either born with a limb difference, and it might be a result of amniotic band syndrome, which is a condition where bands are formed in the womb and actually wrap around and constrict growth. And so then it can also be caused by blood clots that work from the mother to the womb. And so sometimes children will be born with limb differences where they'll either have partial fingers or no fingers at all on their hand. And so these hands that we're creating actually allow us to use very low-tech technology in terms of the mechanism that it uses. As long as a child has 30 degrees of wrist movement, the hand is actuated by their wrist. And so just by bending their wrist, the fingers will actually move. But the hands themselves are 3D printed, at least the components that we create them with. But the rest of it is, you know, window shade cord and stretchy bracelet string for the actual extension of the hands. And so we can build one of these hands for around probably about $20 in materials and maybe $20 in labor. And granted, they're not fully functional in the sense of a true prosthetic hand. But in terms of like allowing a child to, you know, ride a scooter and have both hands secured to the scooter, or, you know, to pick up simple objects like a ball or grasp something, they're functional in that sense.
So how did you get interested in this? How did you transition from making jewelry and doing metalsmithing to basically becoming a humanitarian with all of this?
Well, you know, to me, it makes sense because, you know, jewelry and metalsmithing's background or history has always been steeped in function, especially, you know, when you look at even metalsmithing itself was always in making functional wares. And I think a lot of the craft fields within art had their background in terms of function. And so to me, to make something that had a function or had a use made perfect sense. And so, you know, I'd been making functional objects like these kind of radical pizza cutters for a while. And I had grown up with, you know, as far as with my father working, he was a tinker, you know, and worked a blue collar print job. You know, he would always come home and work on things. And so there was always this kind of like, you know, what's the next project going to be? What are we going to create? What's the next problem to solve? And we would often make tools that then we used to make the thing. So he'd say, well, I'm going to make a knife. And so we would make the belt grinder to make the knife. And so I continued that in my own work, even in my own studio. Whenever I would go to make some new thing, I would always kind of create something else to create it. And so I had gotten interested in CNC machining, where you're using a computer to control a milling machine to subtractively carve objects. At the same time, started to kind of figure out how I could use that in my work to create my work that I would show in galleries and things of that nature. I also became interested in 3D printing because we were just starting to see a lot of 3D printing come onto the scene in terms of the DIY and maker movement. And so I had been investigating how to build my own 3D printers because that just seemed like a logical thing to do. And so
well, of course.
Yeah. And so 3D printing has been around for a long time. I think people are just now starting to hear about it. It's been around for a long time, especially university setting. And I was always frustrated as a student when I realized that, oh, well, once I leave this university, I have no access to this cutting-edge technology. And so I started thinking, well, how can I make sure that my students have access to 3D printing? And so, again, to make a 3D printer made common sense to me. And at the same time, I thought this would be a wonderful learning opportunity for my students. If they can come take a course with me, learn how to build their own 3D printer, not only do they understand the technology and how to harness the power of it, but they understand how to fix the machine when it breaks. And they really, truly understand it, the process. And so we started building 3D printers. And again, then there was a local person actually from Mukwonago, a woman named Renee. She had contacted the local Milwaukee Makerspace, actually contacted an individual by the name of Pete Prodell, who's very active with the Milwaukee Makerspace, and had said that her daughter had seen a video that MakerBot Industries had put out about a little boy who had received a prosthetic hand that was 3D printed from two individuals. One of them is named Ivan Owen, and he's a prop maker from the Seattle area. And then the other one was Richard Van Az, who was a carpenter from South Africa. And he had had his fingers cut off in an accident, carpentry accident. And those two individuals had worked together to design a 3D printed hand that was partially 3D printed and then partially made of thermoplastic. So they had designed this, and there was a video about it. And so Renee had seen the video, and Shay had seen the video. So Shay was asking for a hand for Christmas, and this was two Christmases ago. And so they contacted Milwaukee Makerspace and said, can anyone help us? Could Shay get a hand, a 3D printed hand? And so Pete said, well, you know, I'm not sure, but he said, I'll send it out to everyone, and I happen to be on their listserv. And so I saw the call and basically said, yeah, we can do this. And
we have the technology.
Exactly. Yeah. We have the technology.
We've built it.
Yes, it's true, very true. And yeah. So, you know, I actually had talked to one of my colleagues at UWM. Her name was Adrienne Blair, and she teaches in design and visual communication. We had discussed that we're pretty good friends as far as even our families hang out together and things like that. And I said, you know, I got this call, and I'd like to take this on. Was this something you would want to assist with? And she said, oh, yeah, I'd love to. And so we connected with Shay and her family. We invited them up to the Digital Craft Research Lab. We showed them the 3D scanners that we have. We showed them the printers. And we basically said, you know, ask Shay if she would help design her hand and if she'd become a collaborator in essence. And so she agreed to, and we actually had her whole third grade class come up from Mukwonago, and they toured the lab, and we showed them how, you know, we 3D print things and how it works to design something. And we started taking measurements from Shay's hand, and eventually we made three hands for her, three different ones for her to test out and gave us feedback on. And again, we got involved with this national group called Enable. And Enable, it's a group of people that assembled around a Google Plus community. And what that means is that basically anyone can join, and if they're willing to volunteer their time, they can become a member of this group to assist other children in need. And there's what's called a matcher, and if there's a parent who's interested in getting a hand, they can contact our group, and then they get matched with a maker, someone who will actually help assist in making a device, a 3D printed hand, and then we make sure that they can connect and get a hand.
In terms of just the actual craft of doing this and putting this all together, how long did the hands last? Do they have a time frame?
Yeah, they're quite strong, actually. We 3D print them with a fairly heavy infill. We call it infill. It's like a honeycomb, basically, infill of the device. And they're quite strong. They'll take a beating. We've actually made several hands for other children in the area as well as internationally. There's one little boy actually in the northern part of the state of Wisconsin named Evan. And Evan, he's really active. And so he lost his fingers in an accident. And so he was the only child that we've helped so far where that was his dominant hand. And so we've seen him really like put the hand through its paces, and he's cracked the hands in a few places, so we start to print those with a little heavier infill. But the thing that's really interesting is that normally the child will outgrow the hand before, you know, they break it. And I think that's another advantage of 3D printing in this case. Most children would not have a prosthetic hand because of that growth rate, because of the expense of it. And so now it actually allows us to scale their device, their hand that they're going to print, larger as they grow. So we can print them a new hand every we could print them a new hand every couple of weeks if we wanted to. And the time that it takes to actually print, it's about 12 hours or so for a complete hand.
And then at some point, is the idea that once they reach full growth that they would get an actual prosthetic hand, or would they stay with the 3D print?
It really depends on the individual and what they desire, And the great thing about the group, the Enable group, is it's not just volunteers from the maker community, but it's people that are prostheticists. There's people who are occupational therapists. So you're getting these expertise of people from all over the world, feeding into this and saying, well, this is what we think is best practice. And so, yeah, we've got adults that actually do use these as well that are members of the community. And so it's amazing. And we also see the development of the hands and the designs. We see those changing and morphing as well, because we're figuring out better ways to design things and how to build them, via the 3D printer. And we're seeing a lot of universities engage in this activity as well. So my particular class at UWM is engaging in this, coming up with new designs. There's another group at Creighton University. There's one at RIT, and then also Ivan Owens' group in Washington. So we're seeing a lot of different universities get engaged in this. And then we're also seeing high schools and middle schools engaged. So recently, Deer Creek School and on the south side in South Francis, they brought one of their student groups up to one of their robotics clubs. They decided they were going to build a hand, and so they contacted Enable and got matched with a little girl in California. And then I went and helped them in terms of showing them how to put one together. And then they built her several hands now. I think of two hands, I think, for her. But it's great because we start to see middle school and high school students getting involved in these activities that are really STEAM and STEM based, where they're learning about science and technology and engineering and math and design and figuring out how to help other people and to become a part of this. We call it a global village. I mean, it's in some ways it's no different than when I grew up as a kid in Illinois in a rural community, where if your neighbor needed something, you helped them. You did it, and other people would reciprocate. So we're starting to see that happen within the global community, where people are sharing information, giving back. And I keep telling my students that's the most amazing thing about the time that we live in, is that information is being passed so freely right now, that you have to figure out, how can I help other people and how can I use my skills and my abilities to do things that are for the betterment of society?
Did you ever think when you were first starting out in this that this is where you would end up working on?
No. I mean, I think coming from, art and design and doing things that are typically self-serving in a lot of ways at times. I mean, again, I think that obviously that art and creativity has a huge impact on society, obviously. But I think sometimes it would feel as though, it was kind of a self-serving act to make work that, wound up on a pedestal or, in a gallery. And I think in a lot of ways, when you start to see things that you design basically go out into the world and be shared, and then other people start using it, downloading it, printing it out, I mean, that's phenomenal. And I never would have imagined that would be something I'd be a part of. I've worked with a group of designers through Enable. There's like five of us, and the latest hand design that we're putting out to the community was designed by all of us, and we did it in about 2 weeks, and we did it through Google Hangouts. And I was responsible for the gauntlet portion that goes on the arm, and then another person was responsible for the palm, and another person was Owen was responsible for the fingers, and we started to just basically say, well, we'll pass the files back and forth and digitally, and we'll print them out on our own printers at home, and then we'll test the fit. And we basically collaborated over long distance, on this design. And then again, people start downloading and printing it out. It's phenomenal. I mean, what we're capable of doing now with technology. So.
And not only that, as you said, the cost is so much less.
Yes.
And it makes it more available to everybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what's next? Are you thinking of other extremities, like maybe feet, or are they more complicated?
Feet are much more complicated, especially legs. But we are looking at a couple different things in my lab. One thing is we've been working with all of the children that we've helped, and we've got a couple other individuals that we're making hands for right now. So we're still kind of working on constantly keeping them in new designs and testing out things. But recently what we found is a lot of the children are starting to want to play instruments, musical instruments, or they're wanting to play a specific sport. So Shay just started orchestra, and she's playing viola. And so we made a bow holder for her to actually attach her bow to so that she can play. And then Karuna in Brookfield is actually starting to play trumpet. So we just finished a device for him to be able to attach to his trumpet so that he can hold it securely and play it. So we're starting to see that there's a need for different adaptive devices. And when you think about it, there's an opportunity here to not just make a hand that does, you know, a couple things, but we could actually start to make attachments, you know, different things that either hook onto the hand or hook onto their existing, you know, palm, and then allow them to do specific tasks. And then I've also been in contact with Wounded Warriors Project down in Texas, and we're looking at designing fairings, that's essentially what we're calling them, but coverings that go over the existing prosthetic leg, because there's an opportunity in terms of design for us to create something that is unique to them as an individual. Again, 3D printing allows us to do that, where other technologies have not, where we can make something custom with someone else's interests in mind. And we can create a covering so that when their pant leg is pulled up, that they don't just have a simple, you know, anodized aluminum tube, you know. And at least from what I've been talking to, you know, the folks at the project, that's a real concern. I think we don't think about that all the time. And so I think that again, finding out what these needs are and trying to address them through design and through creating, through making, I think that's a wonderful opportunity for us to be able to give back in some way, you know, and share our skills and talent.
Frankie Flood, it's always great to see you. We have to not leave it quite so long next time, but thanks so much for coming in.
Well, thank you, Bonnie, so much for having me.
Frankie Flood is a professor of art at UWM. He teaches in the jewelry and metalsmithing area, and he oversees the Digital Craft Research Lab. There's more information about the 3D printing of prosthetic hands for children at WUWM.com.